Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, it's Ed Bondarenko.
Howdy.
And our sometimes co-host, Alex Wasson.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Well, thanks for coming in. It's good to have my two co-hosts in for the last show here at Wham Talk 1600. So if you want to get in on the action, you can certainly call into the show, 734-822-1600, and give us your opinion on news of the week or anything else you feel like talking about. We can certainly do that.
Or give us the liberal opinion from San Francisco, you trolls.
No thanks. I get that on the major media channels.
That's right. So this is the last show, and we will be moving to podcast, and I'll give you the details of that. You'll be able to reach that information at GaryWellings.com or TheDailyDrift.com, and I'll put that information up when we do it. You'll still be able to call in, and we'll actually be a little video action, too. So it'll be fun. And we won't be tied to the FCC.
Well, I have to wear a shirt. I enjoy the way we do this in our underwear.
Ed.
Oh, no. Well, anyway, so what we do on The Drift every Saturday is go over the news that I put up on the Daily
Alex Alcom.
The news you need to know.
There yes. you go. And we'll keep doing the Daily Drift, so that's not going anywhere. So thank you for all the years of tuning in and participating in the show. It's been a great 8-year run. So we'll continue on podcast and do some other things, which will kind of free us up a little bit of time. So that's good. All right. Well, the big news this week. Huh? Impeachment?
Yeah.
So did you drag some stuff together too, I'm hoping?
Well, I've got some stuff about that. Yeah.
Okay. So we've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. And of course, if you watch, as Alex said, the mainstream media, well, he's already guilty. Well, go ahead and do it then. Why wait? Why take 2 weeks off and go on vacation?
Of course
Congress?
He's guilty. Of course he's guilty. We just need to figure out of what. That's all. Once we figure out what, then it'll all be settled.
Well, I thought that exposing crime was actually a crime itself or a high misdemeanor.
Yeah. Well, that's what's crazy, right? Yeah. Exposing the crime or investigating the crime is worse than the crime itself? In what world are we living in?
The world where the Democrats asked the Ukraine government to investigate the Trump campaign
before,
a couple of years ago, yeah. right?
And now it's wrong
and
to
threatened
be
to withhold. Yeah, threatened yeah. to withhold
aid. And we've got a whole lot of that stuff to get into today. But I want to start real quick with just the guy, my go-to guy. Alan Dershowitz, mm-hmm. right? He's a liberal. He's an admitted liberal, a Democrat. And I wanted to see what his
They're not
take
talking
was.
To him anymore. I don't know if you noticed. They're not talking to him anymore.
You won't see him on CNN and MSNBC, yeah. right? Here's Alan Dershowitz talking about impeachment over the Ukraine call. Derek, you got that? Go ahead and play it.
My question is this. I saw the transcript. I did not see a smoking gun. I did not see a quid pro quo. Did you?
I did not. I did not see either an impeachable crime or any indictable crime. What I saw is some pretty rough politics. And the answer to that is let the other side play rough politics. In the end, this is going to be a political tie. It will dirty the Biden camp a little bit. There'll be some Americans who will say maybe the president shouldn't have made that call. But it doesn't belong in Congress in an impeachment inquiry, and it doesn't belong in the Justice Department. It is not a crime, high or otherwise.
How do you think this ends up? Because I understand that Speaker Pelosi is going to press ahead with this official impeachment inquiry. Where does it end up here? What's the end game, Professor?
Well, I think it backfires on the Democrats. I'm a Democrat, so I hate to see the party I voted for years hurting their chances, but I think it's going to hurt their chance. The American public is not in favor of impeachment. And impeachment is a mechanism of last resort. It requires bipartisan support to succeed. The only president who's ever been removed via an impeachment threat has been Nixon. And the reason he was removed is Republicans started turning against him. And in this case, it's going to backfire on the Democrats, and particularly in swing state Democrats, whose constituents are very much against impeachment. And they're going to have to vote now because Nancy Pelosi is pulling them out from where they've been hiding and saying, essentially, you're going to have to cast a vote. And that's not going to make her popular with people at the center of the party. It will make her very popular with people at the left of the party. And it's part of a drift of the Democratic Party leftward and the increasing influence of so-called progressives, who I call repressives or regressives, because there are people who don't favor free speech or due process or basic American values. But this is very, very political.
So
it's political.
It's political.
It's,
the big point for me is we have two congressional seats that flipped last time around, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was Haley Stevens and Alyssa Slotkin, who replaced my current congressman, was Mike Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
These two ran as moderate Democrats who would work with the president, and they both, I think, was it Monday, joined Nancy Pelosi in the call for impeachment based on, even before they read the transcript or anything else. And I would be remiss. I think
Excuse me.
All would.
Everybody called for impeachment before they read the transcript.
Yes. And so these ones are now on the hook. They've done nothing in the time that they've been there. And so I want people to think long and hard about this. For Alyssa Slotkin and Haley Stevens, folks, do not replace these people. Vote them out. Whether you vote for somebody else in the primary on the Democrat side or you vote Republican, hopefully, in the general, these two must be replaced. Haley Stevens has done nothing. Quiet as a church mouse, just hanging under the radar, catching her salary, basically. Right?
Actually, that's kind of a virtue when you consider Tlaib and AOC.
And
Presley.
And Alyssa Slotkin. But I don't like the fact that they play off as moderate Democrats.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when push comes to shove, they're just on board with Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler trying to impeach the president, the guy who's responsible for making things as good as they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So take a long, hard look at those two and get rid of them. Tlaib, on the other hand, just somebody primary out. Please, Detroit. Pick anybody.
And Phil had a guy on this morning who's running against her. He's already started running against her. And I forget his name, but he was on the Abolition Roundtable this
As a Democrat?
Morning. I think a Republican, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
He just said he was running against her. That's all I heard.
I would highly endorse somebody else on the Democrat side. They're going to be anti-Trump, whatever. At least be not hating Christians like she does.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
I
mean? She needs to be replaced because she's intolerant. She's got no tolerance for anything else other than Muslims. You know, she's a Palestinian pro-activist. She needs to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three positions here in Michigan. For crying out loud, folks, please get out and get rid of them. Don't vote them back in, whatever you do. You want to take a call from Joe in Wyandotte, wants to talk about impeachment. Joe, welcome to the show.
Yeah, first, I think you're thinking of potentially Dave Dudenhofer.
That's him. Thank you.
Yeah, he was chair of the 13th Congressional District Republican Committee. Probably stepped down now to run
as a Democrat.
And I also know personally Al Limo is seriously considering throwing his hat in the ring too. And secondly, it's really sad that you'll be off the air now, mostly for me, because I'm going to have to try and train a new host as to how it's really done as opposed to how you spoke.
Oh, no.
You'll have an opportunity. I want to let everybody know this slot is not going to another financial services.
Thank God for that.
No, this slot's going to have a good host next week.
Yeah, you'll have good replacement next week. And you'll be able to reach us, Joe. I'm going to have phone available, so you'll be able to call in and steal the show like you do every week.
Mm-hmm. but thanks for filling us in.
We, of course, must pass impeachment to figure out what impeachment's about.
That's it. That's right.
Exactly right. But let's be honest. They've been trying to impeach him since before he took office.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times do you cry wolf?
Yeah.
Shall we count the ways?
Timeline this time. Declare impeachment without any charge or evidence. Release some evidence that they think they can spin to be impeachable, being the transcript, which shows absolutely nothing. So when that fails, release the faux whistleblower, who is really just a partisan hack dealing in hearsay, which is a big nothing burger, and pretend that's something. But it was all moot, his complaint moot, because we saw the transcript showing nothing. So now, of course, since none of that works, try and allege a cover-up of it all, even though both of those things have been released. This is the insanity that Democrats are dealing in right now.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say something, too, about everyone wants to make a big thing about this going into the extra secret probation classified server, yeah. Right? It's. I'm betting when it comes out, all phone calls are probably now going in there in the last year
they
or
have
six
been.
Months.
It was announced.
Was
yeah.
it?
Okay, yeah, a former White House staffer announced that we've been doing that for a while since the leaks to the Mexican president came out, the leak to the Canadian prime minister yeah. came out. All these leaks yeah. have been coming out of these. They got to do something.
So the big news that I kind of put up on the Daily Drift, Joe, and I'm sure you saw it, I actually had to adjust this morning, was the fact that the rules for whistleblowers changed in August.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody changed yeah. the rules saying that people with secondhand information can now come in.
Yeah.
That, it was uploaded just like weeks before this happened. Mm-hmm. So it was in
this was a whole setup job.
Awfully convenient.
Exactly.
Yes, technically under the old whistleblower laws, the real ones, the way they should be, the hearsay is inadmissible. It's not valid, just like it would be invalid in court. And Ed is right. They put these what amounts to a skiff now because of all the previous leaks. They have to protect it because no world leader would trust speaking to the U.S. president if all the time every one of their daggone phone calls was leaked.
Yeah. What bothers me is that this whole, the idea of the whistleblower and what Trump said about a spy and espionage has been conflated to where they say that Trump was complaining about the whistleblower being a spy. And that's not the case. The spy is the guy who told the whistleblower mm-hmm. what he heard. That's the spy.
Yeah.
That's the inside guy that's got to be ferreted out and gotten rid of. He should be put on trial for his activities. I mean, this is part of the Intelligence Committee, six ways sideways on Sundays to get back at you. This is still part of the attempted coup. But thankfully,
that's too complicated for the media to explain. They prefer the spin, simple spin version. They can, regardless of the facts.
Thankfully,
make Trump look bad with.
Thankfully, Donald Trump has a secret superpower that's not talked about that much. But I've observed it in action. I've seen him use it, and so I'm inferring that he has this secret superpower. So I'm going to expose it right now. He has the ability to drive people insane, and they act accordingly. He has the ability to gin something up against him. For all I know, he may have leaked out this, a false sense of information to this informant. He may have had somebody say, hey, tell this guy this, okay? Then he's going to leak it, and then we're going to step back and laugh at them. Because he's done this so many times. Something,
yeah.
The Mueller report. Oh, we've got him now, we've got him. And they don't have him. He's like the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. And he is the Roadrunner. That's his super secret power.
Yeah, what's
like a disinformation campaign. That would be wise to do, to send them on all these wild goose chases that they endlessly epic fail on. And lastly, on impeachment, then I'll get off the phone, is this isn't impeachment. It's quasi-impeachment again. They're playing games around the edges of impeachment. Shut up. Do it. Draw up real articles of impeachment and start a real official impeachment process. We want it, because then for every one of your hearing committee morons that engages in spin, have it on television, we then get to directly rebut with reality and facts and wake up the American
yeah.
people.
Yep.
So take care, my friends. I love you guys, and I'll try to catch up with you all on podcast.
All right. Love
okay.
you, too, Joe. Take care, brother.
See
you,
Bye. Joe.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So the thing that I really noticed this time around with this latest escapade of Never Trump derangement syndrome is instead of being opinion pieces and slanting, they're just outright lying now.
Oh, you right? mean like the Schiff, Adam Weasel, reading what he did so that people who didn't read it would think he's reading it, take what, because people don't read. They don't have the reading comprehension to read something like this anymore, especially liberals. So they take what Schiff says, they go, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And he's lying through his teeth, and there's no...
And
no
they don't
penalty
show
for him to pay.
Yeah, and they don't show it when he says, yeah, I was just doing a
exactly,
parody.
Exactly, exactly. Right?
You
disclaimer.
Never see that on the yeah. nose. Right?
It's like an old attorney trick. You say something in front of the jury that's inadmissible.
Strike that.
The jury they never still heard it.
Yeah.
And these folks aren't smart enough to figure out that that's an out-and-out lie.
Right. Let's take a call from Tom in Detroit. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, you know, I saw Bernie on one of the comedy late nights, and he's confident Trump's going to get impeached on the emoluments clause. And I mean, that's just silly. I mean, Trump isn't even taking a salary. You know, the reason I really called is, you know, historically this Ukraine deal, this was a big deal back around 2014. You know, when all the trouble started over there. That there, in my understanding, that you know, I was getting information from InfoWars, and they're usually pretty good. They have, you know, a lot of their own whistleblowers, but you know, there was supposed to be a pipeline being put through Ukraine, and Ukraine stopped it. Then, you know, the big international finance boys, you know, kind of recruited NATO to go in there and you know, be a battering ram. To you know, to get their pipeline through, and I think that's at the heart of the whole Hunter Biden thing. You know why he was getting paid, and you know him and Joe and Obama and Hillary, they were all in there, and I think Trump knows that there was something going on there, and there's still something going on. Trump was talking down NATO, and. You know, he got in a lot of trouble for that, but, you know, he came through it. And I just think that it's a big deal, and that's basically what he's trying to get to the bottom of is what's actually going on in Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is, did you see the treaty that we have with Ukraine?
Yeah, I posted that on Facebook. Yeah.
So when you have a treaty in place, and that was signed by Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Right?
Yep.
The president is the chief enforcement officer of the United States of America.
Well, let's spell out what the treaty is. This treaty that both countries would help each other root out corruption.
Corruption.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. That's, you know, so Trump is obligated by treaty to root out corruption in Ukraine.
And that was ratified by the Senate.
And to work together to do that.
Yep. So when you've got, and there's so much dirt going on, and we're going to get to a lot of it here in the second half hour. I don't want to start on the stuff. If you've been following John Solomon all, he's just got a ton of information that it's hard to believe that guys like Tom Fenton and Catherine Herridge and John Solomon, journalists, real journalists, not
real
these phony CNN, MSNBC garbage guys. These are real journalists doing the FOIAs, trying. And why in God's name do we have to drag the government screaming and kicking to give us the information? You're our paid servants. You shouldn't be hiding anything from us.
Speaking of corruption, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of this, I thought it was hilarious because you follow what's going on in the Ukraine during the Crimean War when Russia was moving in and which government is which and who's who, and there was all this turmoil. And they recently had elections, and this is where Ukrainian President Zelensky was elected. But what a lot of Americans don't realize is that President Zelensky is a former TV actor, hugely popular
comedian,
TV actor. Yes, and he played a high school teacher in a show called Servant of the People. And in this show, the high school teacher that he plays goes on a tirade against government corruption. And in the show, he becomes elected president of Ukraine. And in real life, the actor who plays the high school teacher who is rooting out corruption gets elected to be president of Ukraine on an anti-corruption.
You want to talk about life
platform.
Following art, right?
Well, wait a minute. He came in to drain the swamp, which is what he said in the phone call with Trump. You know, you read the transcript that he specifically references, I'm here to drain the swamp just like you're there to drain the swamp. Let's drain the swamp together is basically what he was saying.
Right.
He said, Trump is a former popular TV figure who was elected to what? Drain the swamp. We got, too bad Boris Johnson wasn't a TV actor, you know? We got to find somebody in France and England.
Well, we got Le Pen in France.
Yeah. Well, it's happening. And so it's good to see that, you know, frankly, in my book, I want to see all the garbage come out because I know Joe Biden is dirty. The corruption is thick as it is with Hillary and as thick as it is with Obama. And I want to see this. It's
Hillary is
come
speaking out as a corruption,
anti-corruption
warrior now.
The nerve of
this
goodness.
Woman. Oh, my goodness. Clinton Incorporated.
Yeah, the Clinton Crime Syndicate. Yeah. Exactly yeah. Right. Well, before we get into John Solomon at the bottom of the hour, I wanted to... Here's how you know this is garbage, this impeachment stuff. When Super Never Trumper John Kasich says, yeah. And
yeah.
Derek, you got that? We're not going to play all of it, but we're going to get through some of it here. Go ahead and play this. This is John Kasich being interviewed by Allison Camerota, who used to be on Fox, but I don't know if she was a secret liberal or what. She's now on MSNBC, I think, or CNN. Go ahead and play that.
What are your thoughts on the whistleblower's complaint and the president's transcript of that call?
It's a terrible situation in terms of that transcript, Allison. But the question is, does one phone call at this point in time lead to impeachment? Mitch McConnell says it's laughable. I mean, he is the Senate leader. You know, we have the gentleman you just quoted from Ohio. Mike Turner says, you know, it's not okay. I mean, I think it's absolutely worth condemning. And by the way, let me point out, Allison, there is nobody, no one inside the Republican Party who has fought harder against Donald Trump than I have. Not personally, but against his policies, his ways, his division. And this call is another example of his irresponsibility.
Yeah,
the question is, where are the people? You know, where are the people? Now, I'm out here in Ohio. I'm finally back in the heartland. There's nobody talking about this.
Thankfully.
Nobody coming up to me anywhere saying, oh, my goodness. So, you know, it takes time. It's got to be made clear to the public what this is all about. And so, therefore, I think the investigation has to continue. David Brooks in the New York Times, it's a column worth people reading. He points out that the dangers and the reasons why you don't go forward with it. Now, David hasn't convinced me. The jury's still out in my mind because I'm troubled. He's attacking whistleblowers or people who know whistleblowers. It's pathetic, okay? But the question is, where is the public? Does this process move to a place where Republicans can grudgingly say this is a problem?
Okay. Why are whistleblowers sacrosanct? Just because this guy calls himself a whistleblower, why does that put him on a pedestal that Trump can't slug back when this guy lashes out at Trump? I don't get it.
Well, this is what Republicans have done since Trump took office. It's not right for Republicans to take the low road and fight back. Excuse me. Democrats have been doing this to us for decades?
Yeah.
50 years? And the Republicans are always so spineless. Trump is punching down.
He has no other direction but to punch down.
You know what? He got elected because he fights back.
Mm-hmm.
As we all want to fight back. Because 63 million Americans, those of us who voted for him, wanted to fight back against this deep state, elitist, globalist scumbags who are out there screwing us all over. Because that's what it is.
What did Lincoln say about Grant? He says, my God, he fights. He lists off all the faults, lists off all of Grant's faults. You know, he drinks, he does this and that, but he fights. That's after years of having McClellan lead the Union Army doing nothing, just waiting for the right opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a fighter. If you're going to play with animals in the mud, you better be ready to play like an animal in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win otherwise.
And Trump's out of New York. He's a New York builder. He knows corruption when he sees it.
Yeah. And it just boggles my mind when I see, and I've got friends who are this way, right? Oh, Trump, he's not worthy of being in there. He's just low class. He shouldn't be doing it. I'm like, he has no choice.
Mm-hmm.
When you're fighting dirty, you have to fight dirty or you lose.
Yeah.
And Republicans have been losing for decades because they're too spineless to stand up and fight.
Yeah.
You know?
Good point.
All right, this is the bottom of the hour. You're catching the drift. We'll see you on the other side.
on the move, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep up with the latest in political talk? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels may take them. People tune to Wham! Radio for the latest issues discussed by hosts like Steve Gruber, Theron X, and Dana Lash. Call 734-971-1600 today. 1600 AM, 92.7 FM, Wham! Radio. We are American made.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. Pressure on the Secretary of State now as the House impeachment probe expands.
The impeachment probe spearheaded by House Democrats is accelerating. The chairman of three powerful House committees are giving Secretary of State Mike Pompeo until next Friday to turn over all documents related to the impeachment inquiry. Their letter demands in part, quote, "Your failure or refusal to comply with the subpoena shall constitute evidence of obstruction of the House's impeachment inquiry." The subpoena was signed by Chairman Elliot Engel, Adam Schiff, and Elijah Cummings.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. The president's been busy tweeting this morning about the impeachment inquiry.
President Trump has been talking about this on his favorite platform, Twitter, and he's using a phrase that we heard him say over and over again during the Robert Mueller investigation, presidential harassment.
Fox's Mark Meredith. In one tweet, the president referred to Democrats as do-nothing savages. America is listening to Fox News.
Brooks Cushman is a nationally recognized full-service intellectual property law firm that helps their clients thrive by applying the right resources, right technical expertise, and right costs for all clients. Whether you need help with a patent, trademark, or litigation matter, at Brooks Cushman, the attorneys are responsive and accommodating to their clients' needs. Brooks Cushman has offices in Southfield, Michigan, and Los Angeles, California. You can visit them at www.brookscushman.com. That's Cushman with a K. Again, that's www.brookscushman.com. Cushman with a K. Or at 248-358-4400. Again, 248-358-4400. Protect your idea the right way with Brooks Cushman.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is Wellbridge. Wellbridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All Wellbridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Chris Tangeman from Howell.
I had back surgery. I had to go there for like 3 or 4 weeks, and let me tell you, they were just superb. I'm in this industry. I'm an LPN, and I mean, they're just excellent. The aides, the nurses, everybody. I thought especially that their therapy department was just phenomenal, and I would absolutely recommend Wellbridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for Wellbridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, Wellbridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. Wellbridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
And welcome back to The Drift. Thanks for tuning in studio with Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Who is that?
And
I mean, I know who I am, but who's playing?
Electric Guest, I think is the name of it.
Man, it had a Motown sound to it.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And Alex Wassel joining us as well.
Glad to be here.
Hey, Alex.
So thank you, gentlemen, for being here on our last day. Good to have you in. And we were just talking. The whistleblower has been identified as a male CIA agent. That's what
correct.
You were saying, mm-hmm. right? And you brought up. Let's go back. Do we keep the CIA? Are they so dirty we need to do something different?
I don't want to get too deep in the woods like you said, but the CIA started out of the OSS. It was called the Old Boys Network. These guys came out, and then there was the communist threat. And so they knew Europe. They knew Eastern Europe. They knew a lot of the players in Europe, and that was the big focus. How do we keep Russia pushed back? And so these guys, the OSS, they finally formed, they put together under Dulles, they put together the the CIA. Dulles was not that great. He was more political character than anything else. And I've read that Harry Truman, towards the end of his term, his presidency, regretted having formed the CIA. Now we go historically, we always thought that they were a bunch of good guys, but then we look in Vietnam. Were they really involved in bringing drugs back from Vietnam? And then it's popularly thought that they, in fact, it's almost a known deal that they're working with some cartels in Mexico to stop other cartels.
Right.
And it were being used by cartels. And then, you know, you get popular culture that shows factions of the CIA are corrupt and just making millions and setting aside in offshore accounts. Yeah. Should we get rid of the CIA and start over? What do you think?
I would at least like to see a purge.
Because John Brennan? Obviously,
something is not right. I mean, with the old telling was the dividing line was home and abroad. CIA abroad, FBI at home. So when the CIA goes out and works with the Five Eyes, the five intelligence communities that we work with around the world, and try to set up the president, Papadopoulos, and the rest of them around the world, they're working against an American president. You're spying on us at home. This is not the CIA's job. Your job is to go after Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. Why are you working and spying on the United States president?
Alex, what was your point?
Well, they were used to overthrowing governments abroad, and I think a few of the rogue operatives or the ones that answer to the deep state are trying to do the same thing here.
Is John Brennan a rogue operative? He was the head of the CIA.
He needs to,
that's amazing.
That guy needs to be on trial. I hope something leads to him, because there is no one more deserving in my book than that guy, being as outspoken as he is, being in jail, put on trial, and being sent to prison, because he needs to be.
Yes,
he's
supposedly
dirty as they come.
Supposedly, Durham's supposed to come out with this stuff soon. You know,
I understand it, and I was reading some stuff, and we'll get into it. I understand that it's a lot to cover. I pray and I hope that all the stuff that I see, you'd be scared to death if you saw some of the stuff I see on Twitter, that they go deep. Do they have enough time between now and election to get enough done? And you have to weigh that possibility of, will it look like it's just political theater before an election, and does that hurt us on getting re-election chances? I mean, is that what the delay's about?
Here's the benefit of an impeachment. Okay, this is the benefit of impeachment. If it goes to impeachment in the Senate, the Republicans then call up anybody they want to testify about virtually anything. And they can put all these clowns in the hot seat. They can put Brennan in the hot seat. They can put Clinton in the hot seat. They could even substantially call Biden or even Obama
Put him in the hot seat.
There could be some real digging going on in the public that wasn't done by Mueller that should have been done.
So let me ask you this, because this thought, when I saw the subpoena come out for Pompeo, and I now want to call Pompeo, Secretary of State, in. Does he come in with a sheaf full of documents from Ukraine saying, you want to see it?
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Joe Biden is as dirty as they come. Right here. And I'm going to read something to you right here on the Shokin statement, right? Because the guy that got fired, the prosecutor, Shokin, in Ukraine, has already gone on the record and made his under oath statement. And item six on this is, the circumstances of my dismissal were that I tendered my resignation to the RADA at the request of President Poroshenko. Poroshenko asked me to resign due to pressure from U.S. presidential administration, in particular from Joe Biden, who was the U.S. vice president. Biden was threatening to withhold U.S. dollars, $1 billion in subsidies to Ukraine until I was removed from office. After I yielded to the president's request and submitted my voluntary resignation, Poroshenko commented about it in the media and said that I had carried out a colossal amount of work as general prosecutor. Now, I heard on another show that other people were calling for
Shokin
to be dismissed because he wasn't tough enough on corruption.
And I'd heard that he was you hear on what media? You hear it in the Wall Street Journal. You hear it in the Times. You hear it in the mainstream media that Shokin was a questionable character, which makes me think, hey, maybe he was a hero.
Well, and that's the point, because you know what? It's kind of all goes back to Joe Biden wants to say we didn't want this Dmitry Firtash, right? DF is what he goes by. He ran the DF group. This is a guy that was a pro-Russian activist, right? He wanted to have Russia more involved in Ukraine, was involved with gas money, obviously, as one of our previous callers had said. The administration did not want him coming back because they thought, oh, that's giving Russia more edge in there. But this prosecutor in this statement says he wasn't coming back, but it's not because we weren't looking at him. He goes, I did not have the criminal proof to charge him with anything. So they wanted him to charge this Firtash guy in order to keep him from coming back into the Ukraine. But he said, I didn't have the proof. I was waiting for the Americans to give me some proof. If you wanted me to do it, follow the book, give me some proof using that treaty. Exactly, they could have gone after Firtash.
Yes.
But they didn't. Joe Biden just went in and said, I want that guy gone. Why? Because he was. And in this, he says he was investigating Hunter Biden.
Why? Because his son would lose $50,000 a month, and we don't know how much of that was going to dad.
Ooh. Touché.
Well, I mean, son, can you loan me a mill? I want to buy a house. Or son just buys you a car, Christmas present, Dad. I mean,
yeah, he wanted to buy a house, the White House.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one.
So,
yeah.
So he had dirt on Hunter Biden, and that's why Joe Biden told him to, they need to get rid of him.
And we played it last Simple week. We won't play it again. Mm-hmm. But Joe Biden bragging on video
that
he got this guy fired by withholding the threat of $1 billion.
Son of a B.
Yeah. There you go, Mr. Biden. You know what? So they're saying that Trump did exactly what Biden did 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, this is what Democrats do. It's projection.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a few years now.
And Trump didn't try to squeeze money out of the Ukrainians for it.
Oh, you didn't hear the dog whistles. It was in between the, you read between the lines. If you knew the background, you knew what he was referring to.
Yeah. Nonsense.
It's a Corleone move.
There's the other report that says the Ukrainians didn't even know the money was being withheld until a month later.
I've heard that.
I haven't
heard
been
that.
Able to confirm it, but that's
I know
what I
because
heard.
I've read other stuff, and even today I read some stuff about some senators who are good guys, like Ron Johnson, and they said no, we were talking about the money. So I'm confused on that issue. Well, I wouldn't necessarily.
So we hang may my have head been on. Talking about withholding it, but the Ukrainians were not aware that it was being withheld.
No, they knew. They would have known if this report was correct. So I'm not. Yeah. I don't want to go out on that.
Yeah, I can't confirm that one either. Yeah. Let's take a call from Gary in Hazel Park. Wants to talk about impeachment. Gary, go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon, and Alex. I'm glad to see you there today on your final voyage through the radio universe.
It may not be final. You never know.
Never know. Well, good luck on that. This whole impeachment thing is just a big joke. Apparently, this doesn't even qualify as whistleblower material because you can't whistleblow on the president. That's not the statute. That's not how it works. This whole thing is based on the fact that for decades on end, the Democrats and Republicans have run ripshod over the American people in D.C. for such a long time and gotten away with anything they want. And now a man who had never run for anything, an outsider, has come forward and shown them the right way to do things, and they just can't stand it. They just can't sit back and let him do his thing. They have to stop him to prevent the next guy from coming up and doing the same thing. Because they lose all their prestige and all their acolytes because now we know we don't need them. They are worthless.
And they work for
us. Worse than that. They're garbage.
Yeah.
And we the five or six main Democrats right now in those Senate seats or in the chairs, these are the worst people that ever existed. And they're the ones vying for the power to take over again. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good points, Gary. Good points. All right, brother. Anything else?
Yeah. Apparently, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going bankrupt. Another failed Democrat position.
Oh, no.
Too big to fail. Too big,
too
to,
big
fail.
To fail. All right. Well,
too big to fail.
Can't get into that right now. But yeah. I'd say we talk about it next week, but we won't. All right.
We won't. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, Gary.
See you, Gary.
Have a good week.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
By the way, who might talk about it next week is Janice Daniels.
Oh, there you
it's
go.
It's been announced. She's taking the time slot.
Yeah. So. Freddie Mac and whatever. Okay, good. All right. So I wanted to get into John Solomon, who was being interviewed. I think it was Beck was interviewing him. So we've got a few tracks here that I want to talk about, and it's all good stuff. This guy is out in front on this investigation. Derek, you got track three ready? Go ahead and let's start with John Solomon.
The importance for the American people is that Joe Biden has staked out a very clear story. I fired the guy. Yes, I knew my son's company was under investigation, but that's not why I fired the guy. I fired him because he was corrupt. Now, what I put in the record yesterday were just old-fashioned documents. They come from public releases of information from the Office of Prosecutor in Ukraine and from an affidavit filed in an Austrian court. And here's what they show. First, the man who was fired, Shokin, the man that Biden forced to be fired, the man who was investigating Hunter Biden's company, and at that moment he was fired making plans to interview Hunter Biden. That doesn't mean Hunter Biden did anything wrong, but he was about to interview Hunter Biden in the middle of the 2016 election. That would have been a big story, right? He says, I was told, and I can tell you for certainty, I was fired because I continued to investigate Burisma when Joe Biden wanted me to stop, and that's what President Poroshenko made clear to me. That's an important thing. It's under penalty of perjury. We should evaluate that, but it doesn't match Joe Biden's story. Now, here's the second thing that doesn't match Joe Biden's story. Joe Biden says it was all about the corruption. But the day that he fired or got that Ukraine prosecutor fired while in Ukraine, miraculously, Burisma's team is at the doorstep trying to get a meeting immediately with his replacement. If they're not related, why is Burisma so interested on the day of the firing to get to see the new guy?
Burisma is the oil company that... owned oil company that Biden was on. They were paying Biden, $50,000 a month to not show up and not listen.
And so we don't forget about it. One of the people that works on Romney's campaign, also on the board of Burisma.
Wonderful.
Isn't that nice? So it makes you wonder why Never Trump or Mitt Romney is so vocal against
the best
Donald
politicians
Trump.
Money can buy.
That's right.
The swamp is deep.
The swamp is deep. And Mitt Romney, alleged Republican, he's not. He's a rhino at best. Mm-hmm. He's a Democrat in rhino clothing, is what I would call him. That's why he's standing up, and that's why you see him trying to poke his nose into this. Because you know what, Mr. Romney? What are you hiding? What are you hiding, sir? So people will say, you got this information from Ukraine. How do we trust Ukraine? How do we know that they're not all corrupt? How can you believe any of that information? And that's exactly what the Democrats will say if this information comes in with Pompeo or anyone else. Right?
At this point, who has more credibility? A bunch of foreigners in Ukraine and we can't even pronounce their names? Or Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler? Right. Or Nancy Pelosi?
Fortunately for us, Mr. Solomon has done his homework. Derek, you got track four ready? He can back up all these Ukrainian documents with American documents. Go ahead.
Well, maybe someone's made them up. There's two different possible stories here. But Joe Biden's very clean story doesn't match any of the documents that I obtained. And people say, well, it's a Ukraine prosecution memo. Why should we trust it? Well, the answer is, I also have the emails of the Burisma American legal team. And those emails show that what the prosecutor's memo says is actually what those American lawyers said to the prosecutors. I actually have the invite from Burisma's American lawyer saying, hey, you guys, you got victimized. Come over to the United States. We'll hook you up with the Justice Department. You can clear the air about this false information. So these facts all add together, and they don't add up to Joe Biden's story. And that's why I wrote what I wrote last.
Yeah. Someday I want to read his book, his memoirs, of how he got all the information he got. I mean, you watch some of these spy movies, Jason Bourne and stuff like that, and they just do something and they get information magically. Right. I really want to know, how did Fitton know to ask for certain FOI information? How did Solomon get how did he get these emails? How do you know they existed? How do you apply for them? How do you get them?
Yeah. Nice thing about Solomon is he's got a deal with Scribd, I think, is the website. So I'm looking at, it's what I'm looking at right now. Scribd, S-C-R-I-B-D. You can go on, you can sign on, and you can, and he's asking
That's
us.
Where I saw the treaty was on Scribd.
Yeah, he is asking each and every one of us, as citizens, go into this information and help me dig through, because he's one guy, and it's a lot of information. You dig through, you might find one little phrase in all that information that really, really matters. So each and every one of us should be taking a little time.
Crowdsourcing.
Yes, and get into the information and start digging. There are people online. Laura Loomer's one of those people, always digging, looking at things, going through it with a fine-tooth comb. Tracy Beans is another one, and she's got some really interesting stuff on Twitter today saying that there is indeed some really big people indictments coming, and you're going to be very surprised, and that's why they're debating whether or not they can get to it or not. I know.
I've heard that for over a year now.
And that's why the Democrats are fighting so hard on this issue, too.
Oh, yeah. I have one thought. Because Barr was in this phone call, he was named in the phone call, never got contacted by Trump, though. That never happened. It makes me wonder if the Democrats said, oh, look, they mentioned Barr in this phone call, and Barr is going to be coming out with indictments.
They've already asked Barr to recuse himself.
Exactly. So here's my point. Are they trying to make Barr look completely political so that when the indictments come out on all these people, and we don't know how big it's going to be, when these come out, they're going to say, oh, it's just Barr. He's already political. It doesn't matter. They're phony. It's all trumped up.
That's part of the problem here is that Trump is actually going against Biden for corruption. And it's played off as he's going political against his biggest, you know, competitor. What? Biden gets a pass? Is that how you get it? Well, obviously it is because the Clintons played that game. How do you get a pass from corruption? Be a big, big political player. Then anything that comes against you is going to be a political play and not a criminal investigation.
So let's put our other conspiracy hat on for a moment. What happens? Is there somebody else? Have the Democrats themselves, the DNC, said Joe's not our guy?
Oh, yeah, and they're trying to sink him.
And they're sinking him. Is he just collateral damage? Or did somebody really say, you know what, we can maybe kill two birds with one stone. Let's throw some more mud at Trump.
They were pretty clumsy about it.
And this time, let's get Joe Biden in there, too. We can get rid of him because they don't want to attack him personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, even you saw Liz Warren the other day, right? She got kind of flustered when they asked her about it. She didn't want to go full on against Joe. But you know what? If none of the Democrats bring this up, if the media doesn't bring this up in the next debate, somebody is not doing their job. Mm-hmm. And I would assume there's got to be one Democrat.
Define their job. Yeah. Defend the Democrats, they're doing their job.
Yeah. There's got to be one Democrat who wants that job so bad they're willing to throw Joe under the bus. One of them has got to break.
Hi, my name's Beto O'Rourke, and I'm here to throw Joe under the bus.
Let's take a call from Walter on line one. Walter, welcome to the show. Walter.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Well, you guys saying some good stuff there today.
Well, thank you, sir.
I had observations about the four Ukraine leader and President Trump having similar backgrounds, and that was some good stuff there.
Thank you.
But look.
Checks in the mail.
Look, who can forget Mitt Romney, Judas Romney, from the world's famous Mormon Tabernacle Choir? That's right, Mitt Romney. Remember this. I mentioned it earlier. Remember when he was in that debate with Obama? He took Obama out the first time around.
And then backed off.
Yeah, and he laid down.
Backed off.
Yeah.
Listening to those Bushites type of bomb.
Would you believe he was paid?
Yeah, did he take a dive?
Oh man, I knew it was over after that last debate.
But did he take a dive?
But did he take a dive? Because he was so spot on in the first one, so strong, he did so well. Was he threatened or bribed?
Did the Clintons threaten him?
Clinton crime center, the DNC Yakuza went after him?
I really believe that part of it was that his advisors, you know, the Bushites and the McCainites and people similar to them, said, look, man, if you keep talking like that, they already think we're racist. Us Republicans are racist. You can't talk to a black man like that.
He did the first time.
What, this is one black man, Walter, who was up
hearing that
and said, get him here. Get him with this jab. Get him with that jab. Like, knock him out.
Yeah. Well,
I was cheering, man.
Yeah, I was very disappointed from the first debate on that to the second and third, and I thought at that time, boy, that's odd. That's really odd. Well, how can a person's performance go down that much?
Mitt Romney is a Judas, and he's a phony. And from day number one, thank God he's not president. His true colors would have came out afterwards. But look, John Kasich, another Judas. That soundbite you guys played, what in the devil's burning blistering hell was he talking about that he opposed Trump's policies? How could this guy have been a Republican in Ohio? And by the way, remember this. Let's go take another trip down memory lane. Trump won Ohio in spite of him not endorsing Trump.
Yeah, Kasich is just a moron, period. For me, the interesting point was nobody in Ohio, nobody in Michigan is really talking. Those of us who do politics on a daily basis may talk about it. But the average Joe on the street is not talking about this impeachment. He could care less what happened in that Ukraine phone call. Really could care less.
That's right, especially the gangsters in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
And such like. That's right, they didn't care less about all of this foolishness. But see, they would have us thinking that the majority of people is into this, except for the Jesse Jacksonites and the Al Sharptonites and those other black activists. Yeah. They're tuned into it because that means less food stamps for them, just in case Republicans run things.
Yeah,
hey,
and listen, one more last thing.
Make it quick.
A lot of people that I talk to, black especially, guess who they want to be the last man standing? That Donald Trump took down these 16 of those Republicans.
Who
they wanted? If they was going to stand with the Republican, they wanted John Kasich. You know why? And he was an easy target for Hillary to take down.
Ah, there you go. All right, Walter. Well, thanks for the call, brother. I want to get another call in here before the end of the show. Have a good one, Walter. Stay in touch. All right, let's bring in Jenny from Brownstown. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, guys.
What's going on, Jenny?
Brother, I wish you well. I wish you were still going to be on, but I want to leave you with something good.
Okay, go ahead.
My furnace man used to be a lefty. He's been watching YouTube and all these idiots that can't get their way, these snowflakes and young kids and different things that can't get their way. And are being, you know, they're bullying people and all that, crying like babies. He's had enough, and he's for Trump in 2020, and he's turned left. He listened to Ben Shapiro.
Nice.
Whoa.
Nice.
Jenny, did you hear what I had to say about you this morning? You are a woman of vision.
It wasn't deserved, Dad, but thank you.
You see things clearer than most people.
Yeah. Jenny,
I felt bad for him. That guy was running over him, and I don't think he knew what to do.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give him some advice from a friend.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, Jenny. Well, it's good hearing from you again. You take care.
You take care.
All right, thanks, Jenny. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
One thing I like about the impeachment, it's keeping guns off the news.
That's true.
I like that.
That's true.
That's keeping Biden in the news. That's true, about it.
Yeah. Well, if he was really the only person who could take Trump... Hey, 2020, bring it on.
Yeah, I. What's odd is those other three morons, what is it, Weldon, that are trying to run for president on the Republican ticket.
Oh, Walsh.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Gone already.
Who are those guys?
All right, well, that's the end of the show. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you for all you've done.
Yeah, been
good. God bless you, folks. Thanks for listening.
All right, you guys take care, and we'll see you on the podcast. Go to thedailydrift.com. Bye-bye.